This is HPR episode 2504 entitled, Intro to Git with Pen and Paper. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 37 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Klaatu introduces Git using pen and paper.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everyone, this is Klaatu, and I'm going to talk about Git. I love Git, I've said that before, I'm not going to go into it again, but it's an important system whether you like it or not. And even if you don't like Git, it's important to know about version control. And a lot of people don't really understand version control. So I think that this episode's going to help with both of those things, knowing Git and understanding version control. After this episode, I want to go into some of the nitty-gritty things about Git, because I have heard from people on Hacker Public Radio that they don't necessarily understand how Git works. They know these magical incantations that they're supposed to do. They see them in the Stack Exchange or Stack Overflow posts when they look up how do I do such and such in Git, but they don't understand why they're doing it, and that's a frustrating thing. That's frankly one of the main reasons that Hacker Public Radio exists, in a way, right? I mean, it's we need to understand what we are doing rather than just take it on faith that, hey, this magic thing that you can do will result in something that is, well, you know, magic. So, let's get started. I'm going to explain this in a little bit of a different way than you may have ever had it explained before, which hopefully will be a benefit, because I know that there's quite a lot of stuff out there on Git. So, saying, okay, I'm going to explain Git, that's kind of not again, you know? So this is different. This will be a little bit different. And it's different because it's paper-based. It does not involve a computer. And yet you can still learn a lot of principles of Git. So what I've done is I have created 8 little mini index cards. So I've taken one, it's not a 3x5, it looks more like a 4x6 index card. Cut it into fourths, and I've done that to 2 different ones, so I've got 8. You can do the same thing. You can just use paper. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You could use Post-its as well. Post-its actually work really well. And that'll be the files. Those will be the files that we create. That's the content that we're going to create. Now I also have a clipboard, a little notebook that I got from work. I didn't steal it from work. They gave it to me. It's branded and everything. So I've got a little clipboard here. I've got a table. And I've got a wall. The wall is our final destination. It is our remote Git repository. That's the one that is out on the internet or on the big server at work or wherever we're posting stuff to. I mean, heck, with Git, it could be your thumb drive. But the point being, it is what you are considering the backup. It's the one that other people have access to, maybe. It's the one that's out of your control. It's out there, kind of safe. It's big and important. The table is your local one. That's kind of that's your local workspace. Although specifically, it's called a staging area because that's the stuff. It is going to have to actually do a little bit of a double job here. But we're going to treat it mainly as a staging area. And then the clipboard that you have in your hand and the pen, that's your computer. It's your text editor, whatever. It's your workspace. Okay, so I'm going to take an index card here, and it actually helps if you have 2 people to play this little game, such as it is, but I don't have 2 people right now, so I will just do this alone. Well, with you, but alone. And I'm going to write down some kind of story starter. So I'm just going to write... to keep it short, I'll just write a strange flying object appears in the sky. Okay? So that's the first file that I've created for my paper Git exercise is an index card or a fourth of an index card that says, a strange flying object appears in the sky. Okay, so now I can put that down on the table for safekeeping. And in so doing, I have just done a git add. So git add simply means that you're happy enough with your content that you kind of take it out of the nebulous, untracked, sort of like it barely even exists area, and puts it in. You're putting it into a place where you can see it, and you can kind of keep your eye on it and think, you know, that's a good index card. That might be a good candidate to go on the wall. Haven't put it on the wall yet, but we're pretty happy with it. We think it's probably going to get there. Okay, so we've done a git add, and it's in the staging area. Now, I mean, the alternative would just be to kind of put another index card right on top of it on my clipboard and just keep going, which is perfectly acceptable. I can do that. And that way I have easy access to it. If I want to change a word or something or add a word, I still can. But for now, I'm pretty happy with that. I'm going to put it on the table, so I've done my git add. Okay? So now I'm going to grab a second index card, put it on my clipboard, let's call it. And then I'm going to write, the next step would be, I'll go evil, so I'll say it abducted my sister. Cool. So I'm pretty happy with that. So I'm going to do a git add for that one. And now it's, again, on the table. All right. And then finally, I'm going to take a third index card, and then I shall say, and then it flew away. And I'm happy with that, so I will put that on the table. So I have three files in my staging area. They can stay there, or I can push them to my remote repository. Well, before I push them to my remote repository, I have to do a little bit of bookkeeping, and this is called a git commit. So since these things exist, we should probably tell ourselves what we were thinking when we wrote them. So we're going to strange flying object. This is my first index card. So I'm going to put on the back. I'm going to turn it over, and I'm going to put on the back. I'm going to put today's date, and then I'm going to put seemed like a good story starter. And that way, when I look back at this and I think, why did I start with that? Well, now I know. It seemed like a good story starter. And I might even put my name, Clat2, and I could put my email so that people could, you know, if someone else is working on this, they would know how to contact me and so on. And I'm going to do the same thing for It Abducted My Sister. I'm going to turn that over, put today's date. I'm going to put nice dark continuation of story. Cool. And then I'm going to, on the last one, and it flew away, I'm going to do the same thing. So date, some kind of commit message, my name, my email, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. So those are now all committed, meaning that I've made them very official at this point. They are very much part of my process. I've decided that these are part of the story that I'm telling. Okay, so at this point, I can push them. Pushing something in Git means that you are committing it, we just committed them. Pushing means that you are sending some files to some other repository. Now, that other repository could be the Git server at your job. It could be a thumb drive that you've plugged into your computer that you're working off of. It could be a server in your home. It could be a server on the internet like gitlab.com or notabug.org or any of those popular Git hosting sites. In this case, in the paper game case, it's the wall. So I'm going to just take scotch tape, cello tape, whatever we call it, and I'm going to stick it onto the wall. And the reason that I'm doing that is because I only have index cards. If you have post-its obviously would work kind of well for this game. Okay, so it's not really so much of a game yet, but what you can do, especially if you have another person, is the other person can take an index card. So I'm going to put on my other hat right now and be another person, And I come in and I look at these cards and I think, well, I like the opening's great. Strange flying object appears in the sky. That's a great opener. It abducted my sister. That's kind of sad. So let's instead go with aliens disembarked and delivered Linux to humanity. Okay, so that seems like a pretty good continuation of the story to this other person. So they put it on the table, they turn it over, they put the today's date, a little commit message, and they put happier continuation to story. That's fair enough. That's their opinion. They'll put their name and their email address, and that's their idea. That's their proposal for this story. So now that they've committed the message, they are going to push it to the remote repository. Now, generally speaking, whether it's because of permissions or just good sense, you usually don't want to just rip things off the wall and replace them with your new ideas. I mean, that's kind of the point of having Git. You don't have to do that. You can have all your ideas all at once. So instead of taping this up on the wall over that middle card, I'm going to put it sort of above that middle card. Physically above it, not on top of it, but like above it. So if you look at the wall now, you kind of have these, you have kind of a pathway from left to right, and you have a strange flying object appears in the sky. And then you encounter a fork in the road. You can either go up to aliens disembarked and delivered Linux to humanity, or you can keep going straight across to it abducted my sister. And then the fork converges again on the last card, which currently reads, and then it flew away. Okay? So what we're looking at here is a visual representation of the idea of Linux, of Git branches. So we'll call the lower storyline the master branch, because that's what Git calls it by default, the master branch. It doesn't have to be called master. We could call it anything we wanted to, but we generally call it master because that's what Git decided to call it. All right, not a big deal. So I think in SVN that would have been called a trunk. I'm not sure, though. But anyway, so Git calls this the master branch, so that's what we'll call it. So the master branch is pretty straightforward. It's what I laid down in the beginning. It's what everyone else is basically working off of. Now, the branch above the master branch, we could call alternate branch, or we could call development branch, or if there was another person, we could call it their name branch. So that's what we'll just say it's the alternate branch. And that's fine. Those two branches can completely coexist. There's no problem with that. Git allows for that. In fact, Git expects it. This is why Git was built. So we've got two branches. They are committed to our Git repository. Everything's fine. Now, eventually, maybe we want to go back to just having one branch. We want there to be some authoritative story here, and that's what we would call merging. Git merging. So a Git merge is when you look at a branch and you decide, yeah, I think I will bring those branches together somehow. And there are lots of different ways that you could do a Git merge. So for instance, let's say that we had someone else coming along, or maybe it's our same friend, I don't know. We don't want to make our cast too large here. So our friend looks at that last card and says, you know, to brighten this up a little bit more, instead of "and then it flew away," let's do "and then it flew happily away." Okay? So they're just going to put plus happy on the card, because they just want to insert happy between flew and away. Turn it over, do a commit message, date, insert proposal, and then they'll commit that to the wall. So they'll tape that above that last card. So now on the alternate branch, we not only have an alternate middle part of the story where the aliens come and bring Linux to humanity, as well as an addition for that final card. And this is a perfect example. These are two great examples of the different styles of merging that we could have. So this final one, where we're just inserting one word, that will merge really cleanly with the final card on the master branch, because it's not overwriting anything. It's working within what we have. So we have, and then it flew away. All they want us to do is add the word happily. So I can do that. So to merge these two cards, all I have to do is take my card, and then it flew away, and I'll just do a little arrow and put the word happily right between flew and away. And now that's done. You can almost think of it as a bug report or a task, an action item, and it is done. So I can take this card from the alternate branch, and I'll just kind of slide it under my index card, and now they're basically merged. So we're back to having a fork and then a convergence, and that's good. But we still do have that fork, and that's kind of scary. We still want our authoritative story. So that's just going to come down to, this is called a merge conflict, because there's not really a way I can take it abducted my sister and aliens disembarked and delivered Linux to humanity. There's no way to really combine those. One's going to get overwritten. And what we need to do is decide which is going to get overwritten. And in this case, I think I'm going to stick with it abducted my sister. So I'm going to take their card. I'm going to slide it under mine. It was a nice idea, but no. So now we've got a strange flying object appears in the sky. It abducted my sister, and then it flew happily away. And that's the release. That's what we're going to release to the world. That story right there. And that's it. That's all there is to it. That's everything about Git that you ever need to know. Translating that into computer speak is actually not that much more complex. So here we go. We'll do that right now. So turn to your computers, if you have one handy, and make a directory. We'll call it something really obvious, like makedir hpr git sample, and then cd into hpr git sample, and do an echo, for instance, of the flying object appeared in the sky, period. Close quote, redirect into 01.txt. And now we have 01.txt in our folder. Now the problem is that this is just a folder, it's not a Git repository yet. So to bless this folder, this location, as a Git repository, what we need to do is do a git init. So if you do git init, init, and hit return, then it tells you that it has initialized an empty Git repository in /home/kaisu/hprgitsample/.git. Okay, so first of all, why is it empty? I thought we had a file in here. Well, let's do an ls-a first of all. So, oh, we do have a file in here. It's 01.txt. Why did it say empty? Well, because as far as Git knows, it is empty. It knows that it's now a Git repository, but we haven't added anything. Nothing's on the table yet. We haven't staged any files yet. So Git is empty. It's just the folder itself isn't empty, but the Git repository, which is this entity within the folder, is in fact empty. Now you'll also realize and notice that there is a .git folder here that was not there before, of course, when we first made the directory. And the .git folder, you could even look inside of it. There it is, branches, config, head, description, hooks. You wouldn't want to mess with that stuff right now. There are occasions that you go in there for hooks and possibly for a config, although config you usually interface with, you know, through commands. So yeah, there's very rarely do you go into the .git directory, but there you go. It exists. It's a thing. Just be aware that it is there. Okay, so let's do a git status. That's a pretty common command that you're going to do a lot because it's kind of like the ls of the git world. You know, it's kind of like what's going on in my git repository. Well, just do a git status and you'll find out. So git status returns a bunch of stuff, but primarily it tells us, first of all, we're on branch master, and that's I mentioned the master branch to you earlier, and it says that we have untracked files, and the untracked file is 01.txt. It might be colored red for you if you have a fancy terminal emulator, and it says you can use git add file to include in what will be committed. So we did a git add earlier, remember, when we were adding index cards to the table? That was our git add. So let's do that now. Git add 01.txt. Now let's do a git status. And hey, this is brighter and cheerier already, at least on my terminal emulator. It's green. So it's still branch master. It says changes to be committed. New file 01.txt. So git has an awareness of our file now. It's still an empty repository, but at least, I mean, it's got something in its staging area. And in fact, it uses that term, staging and unstaging, in the little message here. It says, to unstage, use git rm-cached file. So, in other words, in order to get the index card off the table and back into our hands, we could do that. We could do a git rm-cached 01.txt. And now if we do a git status, we're back to the original place, where we've got no untracked files, it's completely empty. Git is not really aware of anything. I mean, it's aware that there are files that it is unaware of, but that's about it. Now we could open up 01.txt in Emacs, and we could modify it a little bit. A flying object appeared in the night sky. That's a little bit moodier. So now we'll do a git add again of 01.txt and git status again, and yep, now it's going to be committed. Okay, cool. So really the final stage in this process, like everything, the outer world notwithstanding, the final process, the final step here is to do the git commit. Git commit is like saving your file at the end of the day. It's something that you probably more often than not want to do. So if you do a git commit dash m for message, and then quote, quote, and then inside the quotes we'll put seems like a story starter with lots of potential, and I'll hit return. And it gives me a bunch of feedback. It says that one file has been changed, there's been one insertion, and that there's been a create mode 01.txt. Okay, so now if I do a git status again, oh, that's a very short message. It says on branch master, nothing to commit, working directory clean. That feels like a doesn't feel like we're winning. It feels like something's gone horribly wrong. But actually, that's correct. What this is telling you is that Git is happy. Git is sorted. It does not need to be updated on anything. It knows exactly what is going on. And that's a good place to be. If you want to get a little bit of history on, you know, if you want to kind of dig around and actually see the commit that you've made, essentially, well, first of all, you can see your commit, right? It's 01.txt. It's right there. That's what you've committed. So if we do a cat of 01.txt, we see the contents of that file, and it is the latest version of that file that we have. A flying object appeared in the night sky. That's the cutting edge of our project right now. Or as we could also call it, that's the head. So the like a, on a tape, like a playhead. That's it. That's exactly where we are right now, is in this file, in this state. Okay? So now if you do a git log, you can see also that here's our commit. So it's got a commit hash that's been assigned to it, like SHA-1 or something. It's just a big long number, really quick to generate, just to represent that, hey, at this point in time, you committed this file. The author, Klaatu, date, and seems like a story starter with lots of potential. So there you go. Now that's it. So like I say, in the real world, or rather in your own personal real world, that's the end of this lesson, that you have committed it. You are done here. You can pack up and go home. Now, out in the big wide world, a lot of times that's not the final step, because it's pretty typical to be working on your computer, and then to have you probably want to put that on some computer somewhere else. You want to share it with others, or you want to, maybe you're just backing it up for yourself, really. Maybe you just don't trust yourself and think, oh, I should probably push this out onto some cloud service or something, or onto my personal server that is off-site. However you're managing your data, it's up to you. So using, for instance, GitLab as an example, GitLab is one of those public hosting sites, one of those public Git hosting sites, and it's kind of nice because they have a community edition that is open source, completely open source, so they support that. Their public-facing edition, I don't believe, is completely open source, but they usually roll features, you know, sort of down into the community edition as time goes on. So it's a pretty good one. A lot better than GitHub, I would say, in that sense, because GitHub is pretty solidly in the open core camp, which I'm not. So if we do, what we need to do is tell our Git repository here on our computer that there's one out there, there's another repository out there that we want to copy all of our data to. And by all of our data, I mean anything that we've committed to our repository, we also want to commit to this far away, let's call it a remote repository, because it's not local, it's remote. Okay, so the way that you do that is you open an account somewhere, or you have a server where you have a bare Git repository on and you have access to through SSH or some protocol that you like. So I'll just use GitLab as an example right now because that's pretty easy to get an account on. So if you want to try this, you're more than welcome to do that. So on GitLab, when you create a new repository, at the end of that process, it gives you exactly what you need to then add to your repository in order to make it all work. And that's nice, and it's good to kind of get used to that. It's a little bit peculiar because when you open up an account on a public hosting server, your username and credentials are usually a little bit more, well, it seems almost more generic in a sense than what you might find on a Git server that you yourself maintain. Although if you're maintaining it with Gitolite, that tends to conform to a lot of the conventions that these public hosting sites have kind of created. Okay, so anyway, the manual way to do this is that we do a git remote add, and we're going to do git remote add origin, and then this address, which is given to us by GitLab, and that happens to be git@gitlab.com/hpr git sample, and then I hit return, and it really doesn't do anything. But you can kind of verify your work with a git remote -v for verbose, and it shows us that yes, we have a thing called origin, and the address is git@gitlab.com:notclat2/hpr git sample/hpr .git rather, and that's a fetch, and then there's origin, same address as push. So that has created a remote location for us that we are now going to, by default, whenever we do a git push, that's where it's going to send it to. So right now, because we've used all the defaults of git, we have a master branch, and you can see that by just typing in git branch. Yep, we're on master. Our remote repository, because it was created by GitLab and used a bunch of Git defaults, also has a master branch. So all we really have to do, technically speaking, is do a Git push. Now, don't do it yet. I'm just saying that's all we would technically have to do. Now, what I prefer to do myself is the longhand, which is Git push origin head. This is one of those weird things about Git where syntax kind of feels a little bit backwards. So what we're saying here is we want to git push, that's the command, to our origin, our head. Okay? So we don't have to call the origin, like the remote repository, the origin. And in this model, where we're creating everything ourselves, it actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense to call it origin, because we are the origin. I am the origin. My computer has created all of this stuff. On the other hand, first of all, origin, the term origin for that remote, that primary remote repository, is pretty conventional. A lot of people kind of understand, oh, origin, okay, that's the one on the cloud. That's the one out there that we're all going to pull from. And after today, after I've created this thing and pushed it to GitLab, to be fair, that kind of is the origin. Because probably when I go and work on my laptop, I'll think, oh, darn it, I needed to work on that one project, that HPR sample get thing. So I'll do a git pull, git at gitlab.com colon notcloud2 / blah 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 dot git. And so in that sense, that is kind of the origin. It becomes kind of the centralized home in this famously decentralized version control system. So I'm leaving the name origin is what I'm saying. It's just problematic because to a new user, it seems very confusing. Why are we doing a git push origin head? Well, and why is head after origin? Because really the command is saying we want to do a git push to the server that we have named origin. So in this case, that's GitLab. And what do we want to push there? Oh, well, we want to push whatever's on our head right now. And like I said, whatever is on your head is everything that has been committed to your Git repository. Now, according to Git status, that's everything. There is nothing left to commit. So if I do a Git push origin head, then everything committed, which is everything right now, is going to get copied to a server that we have named origin. Which server is that? Well, we could look. We can do git remote-v. Origin goes by the name of, git at gitlab.com colon notcloud2. I did an HPR episode earlier, much earlier now, months ago, about pushing to different remotes. And that's a cool one. And if you want to learn more about like that sort of the technicalities of this, go listen to that episode. Seriously, it's great. Because it's about how you can set up different remote servers, and so when you do a git push, you can push all your changes to several different places, and that's fantastic. I mean, talk about diversifying your backups. Now you've got several remotes. You could push to GitLab, GitHub, not a bug, and your own private server, all in one git push. It's amazing. It's really very cool. Try it. Point being here, we've got one remote server. We've designated it origin, and we are now doing a git push origin head. And I like to do it that way because it always reminds me of what exactly I am pushing. And this gets kind of tricky once you start doing fancy things like adding branches and maybe pushing only specific branches. It's good to kind of get into the feel of, you're not just doing a git push. You're doing something implicitly, but you're forgetting what you're doing unless you explicitly say it. So I explicitly say git push origin head every time I git push, because I want to remember, I want to know where I'm pushing to, which is origin in this case, and I want to know what I'm pushing, which is everything on head right now, which is everything that's been committed. We call that head, all capital. And that's what's getting pushed. Now, if you don't put that in, if you just do git push, that's what it defaults to. It secretly runs a git push origin head. It's just when you get more advanced, that's going to screw you up because you're going to forget that there's that implicit default, and you're going to think, why isn't my branch pushing? I don't understand. And then you're going to look like an idiot, and someone's going to say, oh, you should do a git push dash u origin head or dev head because there's no dev branch yet. You're the first person to do that, and you need to push, and so then you think, oh, yeah, right, of course I do, because I forgot. But so do the longhand so you'll remember. Push origin head. So if you do that, it should hopefully you've set up your GitLab account correctly, or you're not a bug, or you're Gitalite, and you've got your SSH keys all sorted, and it will just sign in auto magically for you, recognize who you are by your key, and commit all your stuff. And then if you go to whatever kind of web portal your Git your public host provides, and do a refresh on your front page or whatever, you should see that there is now one commit, and that one commit should be seems like a story started with lots of potential. Starter, I misspelled starter with started, but you get the idea. That's what you'll have, and that's that is your first real live Git experience. In the next episode, I'm sure I will talk about a lot more of the nitty-gritty about branching and merging and rolling back and unstaging and staging and all that other good stuff. I just wanted to get the basics out in the interest of being complete about this. So hopefully either the computer or the paper-based exercise has helped you understand what's going on, the philosophy behind how Git sort of manages itself, and has, if nothing else, made it, I don't know, less scary or less mysterious. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.